Cool.
I'm at home, actually, in my bedroom.
Very nice, very nice.
Looking out the window, it's very snowy outside, a bit cold here.
I bet. I've seen some footage of how cold it is over there.
Coming up to 20 years with one band is a huge achievement. Can you take me back to like 1998 when you joined the group and how you came to be in Mogwai?
Well, there was a sort of recording and rehearsal space outside of Glasgow that we used to go to. And I was rehearsing with my band, and Mogwai were in with Paul Savage recording the first record. And we just got to talking and we became friends quite quickly. And then they borrowed my piano, I think. Sort of insinuated myself on them from that. And, yeah, joined the band quite quickly after that.
Of course, there was a bit of controversy at the time because they let go of Brendan O'Hare and you came in. Did you sense any... Was there controversy there at all?
No, I don't think it was... It was weird. I wasn't really a replacement for Brendan because he didn't really play the synthesizers or he didn't really... I don't know, he was a bit like Bob Nastanovich is to Pavement. He was sort of the guy who, like the raconteur, the sort of guy who shouts a lot and stuff. He wasn't really playing that much music, so I didn't feel like a replacement.
And where did you feel the band were going at that time? Obviously, it was pretty early days. I think the second album was about to be produced. Did you sort of have any idea it would be lasting 20-odd years?
No. I think everyone's still surprised that it's still going, but... I think they were aiming for like 4 or 5 years, something like that. Like most bands are around for 4 or 5 years and then stop. So this is like, it's really a bit of a saga.
Saga, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
I guess a lot has changed in your lives, personal lives over those years. And you probably moved all different locations. Has there ever been a time where the band has sort of hit a crossroad and gone, oh, maybe this is it?
Not really. I think there's always a sense of we need to keep going. It was always like nobody wants to get a job. So the sort of threat of normal employment has always been the catalyst for hard work.
Well, there is that. I mean, when you can have music as a career and that's an option, then you grab it, right?
Yeah, of course. And you know what? People keep asking us to do like soundtracks and concerts and stuff, and we're not going to say no, because if you're not doing anything, then you're a musician who doesn't play music is basically unemployed. So we want to keep employed.
And I was going to ask you about that, because obviously Mogwai are quite prolific. I mean, an album every couple of years, some big projects lately as well, but you work on a number of other projects as well, including Sums with David Letellier. Is music just a constant in your life from day to day?
It certainly, it's a way. I feel like as you get older, the time slips away much quicker. Mm. So, it's really weird. Like, it's trying to fit all of these things in to 1 year. It seems really difficult these days. But, yeah, it's good to work with Dave. I think the best thing about that and us working with other people, like Stuart did the Minor Victories thing and Martin helped out, and Dominic, our bass player, plays with other bands too. I think that really helps with the way that Mogwai writes songs, because it exposes you to a different ethic or a different, just a different way of doing stuff. And I think, that's important to keep stuff a bit fresh.
Yeah, and trying, I guess you get opportunities to try different styles and different things with the other band.
Yeah.
Sums seem to be a bit of a, maybe was that a bit of an experiment for you guys? Are you going to continue that?
Yeah, we did. The only reason that we didn't put an album out sooner is because David and I have been really busy with our main thing. But I just spoke to him 2 days ago, and we're going to try and play a show in Glasgow. And then we've already got an album recorded. We just have to get it mixed. But we're never in the same place at the same time. But that's going to happen as well. So I think, it's going to be good.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that.
Now, with Mogwai, you released Every Country's Son last year, which, the ninth album for the band. And you'd been working on some projects and soundtracks sort of before that. Was that album sort of a return to normality for the band after having some of those bigger projects to work on?
Yeah, it is. It's like, but there's always a little bit of a hangover from the last thing that you did. So there was like elements of like Atomic coming into the new album, and it's like they always spill over into the next thing, maybe because you've had stuff that you never used and you wanted to revisit it or stuff, and it's got that sort of music's a bit of a photograph in time, so you always have the same things happening. So I don't know, I was like, yeah, it's nice to get back in the studio though. It's always nice to work as a normal band once in a while.
But you all record your stuff separately, right?
Yeah, well, we do a lot of live stuff with Dave Fridman. There was a lot of live stuff on that, but generally it's separately, yeah.
I guess good old Dropbox gets a lot of use.
Yeah, it's the future. It's the present and the future.
You mentioned Atomic, Living in Dread and Promise. I actually haven't seen the documentary. I would love to see it live with you guys one day. But you played that soundtrack live in Japan. What sort of an experience was that?
It was really tough, but it was also like people really appreciated that we came over and did it. And annoyingly, the only people who got offended by it were Americans on Facebook. And let's not forget who dropped the bombs.
It was
a bit rich coming from American, but yeah. But it was really weird. The weirdest one was in Hiroshima, where we played there, and it was made even weirder by the fact that the stage was so small that we couldn't hang the screen behind. Oh. So we had to hang the screen in front of the band, so all that people could see was the film and our feet, and you know, some of the guitar. It was really weird. We had to go and explain to the audience beforehand, and they were all cool about it, but it was a really strange experience.
Yeah, wow. As anyone who's visited Hiroshima will know, it's a pretty sobering place, but it's also really uplifting and rewarding. Did you find that playing in Hiroshima, did you talk to some people and just sort of find out what, you know, how they felt about this movie, this documentary?
Yeah, the only people we spoke to were like mostly our translators and the people who worked for the promoting company.
Yeah,
and like the sort of traveling Japanese crew, but they were all really positive about it, and they were glad that we did it. We were worried about it, but I think it was a good thing to do.
I mean, it's a thing that's ever present in everyday life there. I feel like you can't. It's always there. The reminder is always there. But the way they've moved on and accepted and forgive is just amazing.
Yeah. Until we get this orange clown in Washington, D.C. to, you know, stir the soup up.
Well, and then North Korea is sending test missiles over their country. That's never safe either.
No, I know, and we're going to Korea next week, so that might be...
Oh.
I hope it's not a short trip.
Geez, you're going from one cold place to another. I hear it's even colder in South Korea.
Right now. I know.
Not going for the Olympics, eh?
No, we're going to play some shows, which was very difficult to find hotels. We can tell you that.
Yeah.
We hadn't really thought about that. We're like, well, we're going to be staying in a dump.
That's exciting, playing in South Korea. Is that going to be a sort of an album tour for like what you're doing in Australia?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We're going there. We're going to China and I think Hong Kong and Japan, and then Australia as well. So yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
We're doing it all at once, kind of thing. Yeah.
Probably different crowds, sort of reactions, I guess. I mean, I know Japanese crowds are very polite, very quiet, different to Australian crowds, maybe. Do you sense that on stage?
Yeah, you can tell. You can usually tell. Like, yeah, it's, you know what? It's usually the Friday or Saturday night thing. If it's a weekend, then people go ballistic. But, yeah, if it's maybe that's the wrong choice of word.
Oh, no.
They get excited. But, yeah, the weekday crowds are usually a lot more sort of sedate. It's cool.
Yeah, nice. Now, you own a bar in Berlin called Das Gift. It's a Scottish-themed bar,
yeah.
I believe. Surely it's a dream of many people to own a bar, especially in a place like Berlin. How involved are you, like, day-to-day with that place?
I used to be a little bit, but it's do you know what? I never go there anymore. I walked past it yesterday, and I was like, no, I'm not going in there. So yeah, I stay away from it because it's like you get your when you're on tour with the band, you get all this like what feels like free alcohol, and then when you come home, you can usually sort of like decompress. But if you own a bar, then that never ends. So I actually stopped drinking at the beginning of January, and I think I'm going to continue with it because I'm getting shit done, getting a lot done.
Yeah, right. I can't think of many people who own bars and don't drink, but that's full credit to you.
Yeah, it's a tragedy.
Especially a Scottish man, hey.
I can tell you that the amount of non-alcoholic beverages available to me have increased.
Oh, that's great. Do you get home much back to Glasgow?
Yeah, all the time. I was just there last week. We were recording a soundtrack last week, and I've got a flat over there. I've got an apartment over there that we go over, and I take my daughter, and my wife comes with us because she's quite young. My daughter's only 16 months, so we go over quite a lot. It's nice.
Cool. So you're doing another soundtrack. I know you were working on a sci-fi thriller, Kin. Is this another one?
This is like, we had to sort of make those, like, because all those pieces of music were really short, we sort of went over and we tried to make them into proper songs so that we could release something that's, like, substantial.
Oh, cool. When did that movie come out? Is it already out?
Autumn. I think it comes out autumn.
Okay. So you're heading out to Australia, of course. You're going to be playing at the Enmore Theatre on the 4th of March.
Yeah, that's Enmore, yeah.
Sunday night. What can we expect from Mogwai? It's been a few years since you've been here.
The same old grumpy Scottish people playing loud music to dead-eyed audiences.
You don't know where to look.
I'm joking, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, we're all looking forward to seeing you, and really great you could talk to us here at 2SER today, and looking forward to seeing you when you hit the shores.
Thanks very much.